Paradise von Annika Druschel. And you're sure you don't mind? A second voice. What do you mean? You could hear clothes rustling quietly, a sleeve being pulled up to reveal the arm beneath, two signs, scars burnt into the skin, a circle with a small star above at the top, beneath that the letter P with an arrow at the lower end. They were the signs that had been burned into the skins of many people so they could be recognized for what they were. In this case, the signs defined the person's gender identity and their sexuality, because they weren't what was viewed as normal. A quiet chuckle sounded from the other person in the room. Non-binary pansexual? They asked. The other nodded. Means you don't identify yourself as any gender, yet feel attracted to all, right? The girl's voice was clear and light. Of course I don't mind. Actually... She stopped, and again you could hear the rustling of clothes as she revealed her arm to show similar signs. At the top, a simple circle. Beneath that, the P, the same sign that was on the other one's skin as well. Though for her, the signs showed her sexual and romantical orientation, as they strayed from the normal. She didn't have a sign for gender identity. The other one smiled. Asexual panromantic? They asked then, and she nodded softly. My name's Charlie, by the way, they said. Sarah, the girl replied, smiling softly. Charlie looked at her, the smile lingering on their face. Sarah hesitated before she continued. So, for your pronouns, they, I'm guessing? I never met someone like you, she said carefully. She didn't mean to offend them. She was just unsure. But as the smile on Charlie's face brightened, Sarah felt relieved. They didn't seem to mind the question at all. In fact, they seemed to be quite happy about it. Yeah, they said, still smiling. It's most fitting, I think, most neutral. Sarah smiled, nodding in agreement, and she chuckled softly. Charlie smiled, leaning back slightly on their hands, which they had placed on the floor behind themselves. Since when are you here? I haven't asked yet. Sarah asked then, before looking around. It was relatively dark. The two of them were in something like a storage room, the perfect hideaway, really. There was food, water, and if someone were to come in, there were enough boxes and dark corners to hide in. Charlie had gotten Sarah off the street that day, taken her there. They had to hide, whenever they could, and as best as they could. They were on the run, always. The world was a cruel place, especially for people like them, people that weren't normal. They had no friends except for each other, no chance of living a normal life. They were despised by what felt like all of humanity, anywhere they went. Charlie just opened their mouth to answer Sarah's question when suddenly the door opened. Light flooded the small dark room, fell on the two. They hadn't noticed anyone approaching the door as they were talking, hadn't heard any footsteps, and now it was too late to hide. While the man was still standing in the door, shocked, confused, just staring at them, Charlie jumped up, gripped Sarah's hand, pulled her to her feet, and ran. They pushed past the man, out of the room. Charlie pulled her through a short corridor, through another door, out onto the street. It was the fastest way out of the building, away from the man and hopefully away from danger, and Charlie wasn't really thinking. Outside there were people. People who were now staring at them because they stood out from everyone else. They were dirty, as they had no place to clean themselves. They wore ripped, worn-down clothes. You can't afford anything else when you're constantly on the run from the rest of the world. Shit, Charlie mumbled, pulling Sarah down the street, their gaze rushing from one side to the other, scanning for a place to hide, for somewhere to run. Sarah, being confused and scared, just followed Charlie as fast as she could, gripping onto their hand and trying to keep up with them. Though she let her gaze wander as well, even if she wished she didn't, now basically shrinking with the disgusted, almost hateful gazes that were shot at them. She swallowed heavily. She wanted away from there, away from them, somewhere where they wouldn't be stared at like there was something poisonous, like they could infect them by a touch. Charlie turned a corner. They didn't notice the guard standing there and ran right into them. Their eyes widened, filled with panic. They tried to go back. They pushed Sarah back, tried to tell her to run, but before the girl could even turn around, one of the guards was behind her, Sarah cried out when one of them gripped her, lifted her up so she couldn't escape. Of course, they had immediately noticed what kinds of humans they were. Charlie felt their arm gripped. One of the guards pulled them away. No! Charlie yelled, tried to break free, struggling and kicking at them, but two more guards gripped them. They looked towards Sarah, who was struggling and screaming and crying. She was dragged away, towards a car. Charlie tried to call for her, but suddenly a sharp pain from the back of their head, and everything went black. All of that had happened almost 2 months ago now. Charlie had been taken to a camp, or at least that was what the guards called it. Every single day they would be hit, punished for something they didn't do or simply for who they were, tortured even. For many of them, the only ray of hope seemed to be death. But of course, the guards wouldn't even allow them that. The main purpose of the camp seemed to be to keep them away from the rest of humanity so they couldn't spread their disease. It was viewed as one, at least. One time, Charlie had listened to two other inmates talking about something they called paradise. Charlie had heard of that place once or twice as well, but they couldn't believe it was actually true. It was too good to be. It was supposed to be a place where everyone could be who they wanted, with who they wanted, do whatever they wanted, as long as they didn't discriminate each other for just that. Charlie had been dreaming of that place, of how it would be there to find someone you would want to spend your life with and do so in peace. But it was nothing more than that, a dream. They had been thinking about Sarah a lot too, wondering where she was, how she was, if she was in a similar place like this one, but Charlie had no chance of finding out. The only ones who might know were the guards, but you couldn't get close to them, yet alone ask something. And if you did, you would most likely spend the rest of the day somewhere on the floor, beaten bloody and unconscious, in most cases, if not worse. They sighed, looking down at the floor where they were drawing patterns into the sand, the only activity left to do in this place. And you needed some sort of activity to not go completely nuts here. Suddenly, there was yelling. The other inmates moved, got up, left their beds. Charlie frowned slightly, while everyone else seemed to be rushing towards the front gates already. They hadn't seen something like this here yet. They weren't here long enough to. A woman pushed past them, and Charlie gently took her arm and held her back. What happened? Why is everyone running that way? They wanted to know. Just come along! Hurry! The woman said quickly. Charlie sighed, but followed her, then pushed through the crowd to see what was actually going on. A grey bus drove up to the gates. A guard talked to the driver for a moment. Then he signed something to the other guards, who immediately started pushing the inmates back, away from the gates and the street, but towards the middle of the camp. They pushed them back with their hands, or with their guns. They didn't even seem to care if someone tripped and fell or hurt themselves in some other way. Charlie tripped as well, as one of the guards thrusted his gun against their chest to push them back, but someone behind them caught them so they wouldn't fall. Charlie turned their head just when the gates opened. They didn't even have the chance to say thanks, as the crowd started moving towards the middle of the camp along with the bus. But no one could get anywhere close to it. The guards kept them at a distance, guarding the vehicle from all sides. The bus stopped in front of the warden's cabin. The doors opened. Charlie had been pushed back while the crowd was moving, so they couldn't see a lot. They practically had to jump to see anything at all. It seemed to be new inmates, a row of people who had their hands tied together, followed a guard out of the bus and into the camp's main building, which was right beside the warden's cabin. Charlie could only get a quick glance at them. Still, they immediately recognized the blonde-haired girl at the end. Their eyes widened and they pushed through the lines of people again to get to the front. Sarah! They called. The blonde lifted her gaze off the ground as she recognized the voice and looked around. Charlie pushed through the first row of inmates and wanted to run to her, but a guard stopped her, roughly rammed his gun into her stomach. Charlie groaned in pain and sank to the floor, cringed and wrapped their arms around themselves. The pain was sharp, but not unbearable. They had been worse in the last 2 months. Still, it was enough to bring tears into Charlie's eyes. When they looked up again, they could just see Sarah being pushed into the building. The crowd slowly broke up. Everyone went back to their beds. The new ones would be in there for a while. Only Charlie stayed, cowering on the floor, even after the pain had faded. They wanted to wait for Sarah. They couldn't leave her alone again. It felt like hours until finally the door opened again and the new inmates, Charlie counted 10, were pushed outside. Charlie looked up, and upon spying Sarah, they got to their feet and ran to her. She came towards them as well and wrapped her arms around Charlie's neck once they were close enough. Charlie pulled Sarah close, sighing quietly, their arms wrapped around her waist. "I worry about you. Where did it take you after they caught us?" they asked softly, looking at her. "To another camp, but it was full, so they brought me and the others here," Sarah replied. Charlie smiled a little bit. "Well, at least now I know that you're well, according to circumstances," they said. Sarah nodded softly, returning their smile. "You are too, right?" she asked then. Charlie nodded. "Of course," they replied, smiling softly. "Come on, you seem tired. We should get some sleep." "Okay," Sarah whispered softly, and then followed Charlie to their sleeping chamber. It wasn't like a medieval sleeping chamber where you had a room, a normal bed, no. It was really just a small chamber, packed with four rock-hard beds, pressed together with no room for anything else. Until now, one of the beds had been free, which the other inmates had been quite happy about, and meant more space for them. But they seemed to understand as Charlie explained the situation to them and more or less welcomed Sarah among them. It was in the middle of the night as Charlie was woken up from a loud bang. They sat up immediately, looked around. The chamber was doused in a red light that shone through the small window. Charlie frowned slightly, then they placed a hand on Sarah's shoulder, shaking her gently to wake her up. "What? I'm awake, Sarah mumbled sleepily but sat up. Her blonde hair was ruffled even more than usual. "What is it?" Charlie just shook their head. They didn't know the answer, just that something was happening. "Come on," they whispered, stood up and gently pulled Sarah along outside. Chaos laid before them. The guards were running around in panic while the inmates stood off to the side in front of their chambers, neither knowing what was going on or what they were supposed to do. The main building was burning bright, flames coming from every window. The air seemed to burn. It was hot and the smoke made it hard to breathe. Charlie looked around and could, in some distance, see the destroyed front gates. Charlie took a moment to realize what was happening, but then started running, still holding onto Sarah's hand, towards the gate. Sarah stumbled slightly, but followed them as fast as she could. Before the guards could collect themselves enough to hold the inmates back inside the camp, Charlie and Sarah had passed the borders, even if they were the only ones. Charlie kept pulling her along, on and on through the woods, to bring enough distance between them and the camp, or more specifically, the guards inside the camp. But they didn't go unnoticed for long. It only took a few seconds until shots rang behind them. They were lucky. At first, the bullets only hit the trees around them, but then one hit Sarah's leg. The blonde cried out in pain, tripped and fell to the ground. Charlie stopped, ran back to her. They gripped Sarah's arms and pulled her back up quickly. "Come on, we just have to make it to the train tracks," they yelled over the sounds of bullets being fired at them. Sarah nodded weakly and wrapped her arm around Charlie's shoulder, while Charlie wrapped their arm around Sarah's waist to help her run a little bit faster, at least. But she could only limp. They could already hear the guards' heavy steps behind them, running after them. "Just a little bit more," Charlie said, but they looked around in panic. If they didn't make it, they didn't even want to think about what would be awaiting them. The train tracks were in sight already. Charlie was cut off mid-sentence and cried out as a bullet struck their shoulder, but they went on. A train was passing the tracks. Slowly, Charlie went even faster. Sarah was still wheezing heavily. Her leg was bleeding badly. The bullet must have gone right through. "Come on," Charlie said. They got to the train, went beside it for a moment, trying to climb into the empty carriage. Charlie helped Sarah up, but when she turned to help Charlie in return, another bullet hit her, and she fell back. Charlie couldn't see where she had been hit. "Sarah!" they panted, looking back one more time, only to see guards rushing out of the forest in masses. They climbed up into the wagon, but as they did, a bullet hit their back. They cried out in pain, fell forward and into the carriage. They felt the gravity dragging them back out. But then Sarah gripped their arms, pulling them back in with her, into safety. Charlie lifted their head, panting and looking at Sarah for a moment. "We did it," they mumbled. Sarah looked at them, smiling softly, and she gripped Charlie's hand, gently pressing it for a second. But then her grip got weak. She fell back, unconscious. Charlie looked at her, opened their mouth to say something, but then they as well lost consciousness. It had to be hours later when Charlie opened their eyes again. They narrowed their eyes as a bright light blinded them. The pain was gone. They felt nothing. Nothing but Sarah's hand in their own. Charlie looked down, looked at her linked hands for a moment. Then they directed their gaze to the girl beside them. Sarah had her eyes closed. She seemed to be sleeping. They sat up, slowly. They still were in the wagon, but an unnaturally bright light shone upon them. Sarah slowly woke up and straightened up beside them, looking out at the light. Then she turned her head to Charlie, who had a small smile on their face. "We made it," they said. "Paradise."